Welcome to Getting Through It, where we're always here to help you get through it. I'm John Bwary, and as always, I'm with the always calming Dr. Lucy Jones. So let's get to it. Today, we're talking about why being out of control in a disaster makes you more upset and really more afraid. And it happens to all of us, and it's normal, right, Lucy? Tell me it's normal that you feel this way too sometimes, Lucy. You always say, at least in our conversations, that emotional responses we have during and after a disaster are exactly what we should feel because of how we evolved as humans. Can you explain that? Why is it that we feel this way?
Well, think about how we came to have the brains that we have. When we were evolving into being human, we're being, you know, at risk, chased down by various predators out there on the savannah. And the other animals are bigger than us and stronger than us. We got through because we were smarter. And so when faced with danger, we see a predator coming at us. We can use our brains and make a pattern and say, going up this tree is going to be safer. Or if I get downwind from them, he's not going to, you know, feel me or smell me, all of those sort of things. We use our brains to make patterns to be safe. And so if you were able to use your brain successfully in that way, you're more likely to have kids, and the genes for that brain got passed on down. So we are evolved to face danger by making patterns. And that aspect of it, though, is there's a lot of things about how we did it that way that are somewhat different when you get to a big disaster.
So what makes disasters particularly unnerving? Okay, I get that we've evolved. So is it that because we have this heightened sense of fear and or of danger that we become more afraid? Why are we so afraid of some disasters versus others?
Well, they depend on whether or not we can make a pattern out of them. So the bizarre part is when they're really crazy, that's when we get the most frightened. So like floods actually kill a lot of people, but who's afraid of the rain, right? We can see the rain coming, we understand the pattern, and that makes it seem more manageable. Whereas earthquakes actually often kill less people than floods do, but we can't see them coming. We don't know when they're going to happen. So that complete uncertainty really gets at us. And in fact, there's been a bunch of research on this. There's a guy named Paul Slovak who created a lot of this field, looking at the factors in risk perception, what makes something feel frightening to us. And there's a whole class of things when we feel uncertain that we are, we feel more frightened. So if we can't see it coming, if it's unseen, we don't understand it, we think that the scientists don't understand it, all of those things make it seem scarier. And then there's also something they call dreadedness. Is it completely out of control? If it's globally catastrophic, if it's definitely going to kill you, if the way in which it's going to kill you is particularly awful, all of those things make it feel more frightening as well. And so uncertainty, I don't know when, that messes up the pattern. And dreadedness makes us feel like I'd rather imagine I'm going to die in my sleep than I'm going to die buried under rubble with the water or the fire coming through.
So that research basically says that we are all going to react this way if we're human. And so whether you're in the U.S. or you're in another country, this is the nature by which we've evolved to respond to threats, to risks in front of us.
That's right. And it's the fundamental of human nature.
So if that's the case, do you have advice for how, or do you have, like, is there research around how humans can take control of these innate responses? I mean, this is like in us, in our genes, you know, I have no sort of emotional control over it. How do I take control over my DNA?
Well, all right. So actually the same guy, Paul Slovak, did a set of work on looking at the psychological mechanisms for managing risk. And this is what we would call the emotional or the experiential way of looking at risk, and you're evolved to respond quickly. You know, if you sit down and try to analyze exactly what's the chance that this wolf is going to get you, the wolf's gotten you before you've finished your analysis. We need a quick way of responding. But disasters and these longer term things are often better managed with an analytical approach. It's not what comes to us automatically, but we do have these brains where we can sit down and calculate, is this risk more dangerous than another? I can, you know, go and get the data and say, wow, the flood is worse in my community than the earthquake risk is. So even though my emotions push me to worrying about earthquakes, I can use my brain to recognize that what I need to do is deal with what happens with the flood. And when you get into that analytical part, you can actually look at ways in which you reduce your risk.
Okay, Lucy, you're human, or you claim to be. How do you manage this in your life, right? We've talked about in the past how, you know, if there's an earthquake, you think about the things you know about the earthquake as you're experiencing it, helps you keep calm, even though you're a human being and have these sort of innate relationships to fear and disasters. What's the way you tap into this for you?
All right. So one aspect is very much as a scientist. And what I do is I tap into that analytical side and I calculate probabilities. Right? That's what I did for my research on earthquakes. I responded to the threat from COVID-19 by calculating my increased chance of dying this year, which is probably about double because of the presence of COVID-19. And I'm going to take that one seriously. But the process of
I remember that conversation. It was kind of weird to talk to you, and you told me how your likelihood of dying was higher this year, and it was like, wow, that's something I didn't really need to know.
And you know, the weird part is it's sort of independent of age, because you're less likely to die from COVID-19 if you're younger, but your overall risk of dying is a lot lower. So it was but for me, that's a way of putting boundaries on it. The other part that perhaps is more generally useful, well, two other things. You can look at what you can do to change that risk. So I get my house bolted and made sure that it's resistant to earthquakes. I looked at the COVID-19 risk and I made sure I put on a mask. All of these are things in way in which I can take control, which both actually reduces my risk and makes me feel in control and therefore less at risk from all of this. And the other part I do is I reach out to my family, give them the positive emotions of connecting, give me the positive emotions of connecting with them, and perhaps do a bit to make them a bit safer too.
That support system is essential, it sounds like. So if I was going to tie this up and think about what you just said, you said that we have a innate coded fear, if you will, my word, not yours, fear, that comes from dread and uncertainty that makes certain disasters or certain crises really sort of overwhelming to us as humans. But you also said that the way we deal with that is sort of separating the emotional from the analytical, which isn't, you know, so shocking, but it's great to hear in this sort of context. If you were going to give advice, though, to someone, someone's listening and they're like, okay, so what should I do if I face a crisis tomorrow or tonight or, you know, in the immediate future? What can they do to sort of, they know this now, we all have this new information about the way that we've been coded. What can they do about it? What can they do to when they know this is going to be happening to them?
Okay, so when that fear is coming over you, I find that reaching out to someone else and helping them, it makes me feel more in control because I've controlled the risk to them or in some other way. And it's in that whole positive, I want to be part of something bigger than myself, I'm helping someone else, that brings the positive emotions so that you balance out what's happening emotionally and you take control and you do something to change it. When you feel more in control, you're going to feel less afraid of what's happening to you.
So take control and you'll feel less afraid, and you don't have to take control of the crisis, but just take control of something. And that usually means helping.
Take control of your environment. Take control of, you know, what's happening to someone else and help them. It's both to take control, but also the helping other, moving beyond your own emotions to somebody outside yourself.
Well, we could go on this topic, I think, for a while. Maybe we'll have to revisit it, but we'll have to do that again some other time. So until next time, I'm John Bueri with Dr. Jones and you, Getting Through It. Getting Through It is a production of the Dr. Lucy Jones Center for Science and Society. Visit us online to get past shows and subscribe to get extras, insights, and access to the world of Getting Through It. Our music is performed by Josh Lee, and this closing music is written by our own Dr. Lucy Jones.